Hello, hello, wonderful world of this universe, of this galaxy, of this supreme divinity that we call life and consciousness. How is everyone freaking doing, including yourself, Mr. Happy-go-lucky conscious being that's sitting next to me? Who are you and how are you?
Alex Bergen. How are you doing, Mom? Pretty good.
Is that what they call you, Alex Berrigan?
That's my identity, certainly.
Your identity?
This incarnation.
And in those two little words, Alex Berrigan, everything is said about you, you know, people should know who you are.
Yes.
Do you like your name? If you would have been reborn, what would you want your name to be?
I wouldn't change anything. I'm good with Alexander.
You're going to stick with Alexander?
Alexander.
I kind of like your name a little bit to be something different. Especially with this little hair you're sporting.
Stop, Mom.
You know,
stop.
You got this.
Stop talking.
You got
about
a cool new look.
Stop talking about it.
And you are needing a new name.
Yeah.
Fine. Maybe after our wonderful life changing adventure that we're going to be taking here in July, 14 days to the majesty of Peru, maybe we're going to be like Ram Dass and we're going to come back, you know, like he came back from India and he had a whole new name. Isn't that what happened to him? What is his real name, Ram Dass? Ram Dass
is... His name is Richard Albert.
Richard Albert. So for
Albert.
Any of you that don't know, we're huge followers of Ram Dass.
Always talking about him on the podcast. So.
I think we do, but not enough.
I think we mention him every episode.
Do we? Okay, fine. Maybe because every one of you should really hear him. Talk about compassion and just exuding love in a way that, I mean, you just understand it. I don't care what he's talking about. And he talks about everything. I love that he touches on every freaking subject which has to do with humanity. Love him to death. But maybe we'll come back from our life-changing trip of Peru, which once we start getting closer here in the next couple of weeks, we're going to start really divulging some information so we can get some of the pre-experience consciousness and the post. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense to you?
I guess. But the reason we're going to Peru is not to record everything on the podcast, show it off or anything.
That, you didn't want to do that. I wanted to do that. It's not.
Exactly.
I didn't want to show it off.
I
wanted to share it with the people. There's a thin line between you and me. You feel that sharing with people is like you're showing off. I feel like if what I went through can help someone, that's very meaningful.
I agree with you. I see your point there. But it's just that when we can't use this as like a promotion of our podcast, you know, we can't, we're a family that's going to go out and experience this. We can't, I don't know.
I don't think that's what we're doing at all. And just the purpose of the podcast is to talk about what I've been through as a human being, because I feel like it's very similar, although everybody feels like they have a different story to tell. And the story of a life and on this earth as a human consciousness, I mean, there's a lot of similarities. And I feel like a lot of the people that I have studied or I've read their books and all that, if they wouldn't have written the books and if they wouldn't have gone and done their YouTube videos and if they wouldn't have gone and done their podcast, which you listen to 80 million podcasts a day, and if they weren't themselves and talk truly about what's going on in their lives, then I would never be able to even get close to unleashing the truth of who I am. And I would still be a robot and a little puppet. Still believing that, you know, that the right way is the way people are now, which are basically slaves to a system of going to work, coming home, and doing it all over again, and then maybe having the weekend, and perhaps maybe a vacation here and there to make their lives a little bit better. So that's why I disagree with you, and I think we've disagreed about this in a very long time. I mean, our Peru trip, I wanted to have video cameras and have everything so that people could really see what we're getting ourselves into, because it's something that needs to be shared with humanity in a very high, high, high demand. It's interesting how today we're talking about the power of the mind, right? And one of the quotes that I want to read to you that's on our podcast verbiage says, it's Eckhart Tolle. I think you say Tolle, but I always say Tolle because I don't know.
I had no idea you were supposed to say it like that. I thought it was Tolle as well.
But what he says is that humanity right now is faced with a stark choice, evolve or die. If the structure of the human mind remain unchanged, we will always end up recreating the same world, the same evils, and the same dysfunction. And the reason I bring up that quote first is because today we're going to be talking about the power of the mind. but also you and I were talking about sharing of experiences and information. We live in the information age where what's happening in Korea, what's happening, although they try to prevent us to see what's happening out there, but what's happening in third world countries, what's happening around the world, it is becoming available
for us to
see.
What's happening in our backyard, our own country.
Right, and I feel like we just saw the movie Selma this week, finally, which I wanted to see it just because there was a lot of controversy that it didn't win a lot of awards based because it was a black film. So they were talking, they were throwing
what?
The race card in.
I thought it had controversy because there was a lot of historical facts in it. That's the reason?
Well, that what you just said is the reason why they're saying that it didn't win a lot of awards. But what some people were saying was because it was a race thing where they couldn't win. I don't know. I don't care. I watched the movie. I didn't think it was super exciting at all. I know. Race is a distraction. Every time that something happens in the news, like this week, Caitlyn Jenner, that she came up on everyone's feed and everyone's news. When, by the way, at the same time, there was a bill that just passed that pretty much, and I don't know the details, so I don't want to be an uneducated person that talks about it, but it talks about the Privacy Act within each of us.
They released the new act called the Freedom Act, which is pretty much like the baby brother of the Patriot Act that got us all the information stuff. So they're pretty much going to do the same thing. I feel like they're going to be recording us either way. It doesn't matter. This law is just, it calls it a freedom law, like Freedom Act. They're doing the exact opposite. It's like, why are they trying to confuse us and just like, they think we're stupid, man. They think we're stupid and they just blind us with this other information that's just useless. I mean, at first I was like, yes, cool. Transsexuals coming into mainstream. Yeah, awesome. But now we just get absorbed into this one topic and it doesn't let us view on everything else that is extremely, a lot more important.
Well, the whole Caitlyn Jenner thing, and we went way off because we were talking about other stuff, but the whole Caitlyn Jenner thing, I feel, hey, more power to her. I feel that's awesome. That's who she wants to be, and that's who she feels she's trapped in. You know, there's reincarnation, I believe, so maybe she was the woman in her past life, and she just happens to remember her, and that's who she thinks she is. I'm not here to judge whatever she does, but I am upset that this is the kind of news that's being portrayed at a time when other things are being bills are being passed that, you know, quite honestly, with the call of the constituents, people that vote, then they could stop these things from happening. So that's where I kind of think that's so ridiculous and awful.
No, I...
Or what?
Continue.
Oh, but I was going to go back to the reason I started talking about this. Do you have anything else to say about Caitlyn?
I was just going to say more things that are going around the world, but should we just not talk about that?
No, we can. But the reason I brought these two things up and the reason why Caitlyn was brought up was because it went back to the Selma movie, right? And so the Selma movie supposedly didn't win a lot of awards because it was a race thing, or that's what they were saying. You know, there were other people that were saying that it was just not that good. It didn't have really factual information. I didn't think it was really that exciting, and I am a huge fan of Martin Luther King. I've seen documentaries that are better than this. But what I did notice in the movie was that the reason why all of these things started to change were because a lot of things were coming to light. So there was when they went to the bridge and there was African Americans that were protesting peacefully, might I add, the cops or the policemen came and attacked them and brutally beat them. And CBS was showing this on the news. Well, when that started happening, that started awakening the hearts of even the white Americans in around that started watching this. And because all of this was coming to the light, that's when change started happening. And so we go back to what you said about not wanting to talk or I don't want to show off and all that. That also is the ego. And we've always had this conversation with me and you because the ego is telling you don't go and be and shine your light. Don't be who you truly are. When if Martin Luther King did that, then, and you know he was a humble man, you know, he was a prayer. They did portray him very well in the movie. I mean, at least the things that I watched in the past. So we've got to always be careful about knowing that we live in an age of information and that we have the power in the tips of our hands and that, you know, what we're sharing and what you're here to put out into the world is very, very important, whether it's one person listening or 50, right? Those are the things that actually create change. One of the biggest things, going back to what we're talking about today, is the power of the mind. And when I read that quote, Eckhart Tolle, I also remember, and many of the new thought leaders and spiritual leaders are saying the same thing, that Deepak Chopra, Marianne Williamson, Greg Braden, all of them are saying the same thing, that we're basically need to evolve or die as a humanity and as a species. And that the number one reason why we are not evolving and creating peace in this world and learning to love each other and all that is because, first of all, as human beings, we don't even know how to use our mind. We don't even know that our mind is powerful. We don't even know. I mean, if I ask you, like we said, if I ask you, where is your mind located? You tell me, where is it?
I love that. Like, where does your consciousness start? Like, where?
Where is your mind?
Where are you in your body?
Because when people say that, the number one answer is probably you're going to get is it's in your head, right?
Yeah.
But really, is your mind in your head? That's your brain in your head, supposedly. But your mind, I'm talking about your mind. Does your brain produce the thoughts, or is there something else that produces the thoughts?
So what makes a thought?
What makes a thought?
I have no idea. I can't answer that. Where do I start? Where does my consciousness? I think, my dad's opinion, my dad thinks it starts in the heart. But my opinion, I think it just doesn't really start. There's no end or there's no beginning point. It just is. It's this whole thing. It's this whole. It's this everything together. The fridge that I'm looking at is me as well. This thing that doesn't end. It doesn't stop. Everything is just connected through me. That's my opinion.
I can see that. It's like a flow, a constant flow. And I think when you talk about humanity and evolution, it's part of it. I think mind consists of thoughts, feelings, and emotions. Definitely not located in the head. I don't know where it is located. I don't know if it's in the heart either, because I feel like the heart can produce love, but I don't see how the heart can produce hate, you know? And I feel like the mind can produce hate, violence, anger, jealousy, envy, as well as love, compassion, peace. All of that can come from the mind as well. I think the most important thing is not where it's located. I think the most important thing is how are you going to use it? And I don't think people really understand first what the mind is or how they're going to use it, because we're a society, especially in the West, that really we don't have time to think about these things. We don't meditate in the West. I mean, I meditate, you meditate, but the people here don't meditate as much as the people. I'm being honest, because but the minute that I started meditating, more, I started becoming aware. And then I started becoming aware of the thoughts that the mind was producing and the emotions and the feelings.
Exactly. So,
and then I love the way what Eckhart Tolle says, that he says, once you start becoming aware of the thoughts, then what happens is that you realize you're not the thoughts, and you literally take yourself out of there so that you could stop producing the same thoughts that will continue to create the dysfunction that we currently have. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And it's very powerful. Like, if you're in the middle of a huge challenge, it's easier said than done. But when I'm now in the middle of the same replaying of the tape in my head, I catch myself and I remind myself of what he said, you know?
So I love how you brought up meditation, because I believe, and Jason Liu said, it's the core of it all. It's the thing that if you really want to go into, like, spirituality or whatever this is, so you start with meditation. That's where your mind starts. And they referred it to, I mean, meditation is like, your mind is a monkey mind, right? And it's a wild animal in a cage. And that wild animal could be tamed by meditation. And it's pretty much the root of it all. That's where it all starts.
Where?
In meditation. Meditation.
As far as what? Trying to tame it?
This whole game that we want to play as evolving ourselves, as getting better and growing.
Yeah, because, you know, one of the things that Eckhart Tolle says is that the problem with thoughts and negativity is that we don't learn to say yes to the moment. And let's talk about something easily, right? As far as you got a flat tire. To me, that's easily compared to my father just passed away. My sister just passed away. At any time when the mind is not saying yes to that moment, however dark it looks, or however even happy it looks, whatever it looks like, there's a huge push of energy. There's a split energy. that literally, like it sounds, is splitting you apart as well, emotionally, physically, because your natural state of being is peace. Your natural state of being is love. Remember as a baby, you know, you were born and you were peace and love until you began the conditioning process of the mind and the ego and all of that. But when you're not saying yes to the now, you're going against to your natural state and to the truth of who you are, slowly forgetting who you really are and more going into fear and darkness. And then that's where anxiety is created and negativity. So with the mind, it's very important to learn to say yes to the moment that is happening to you, whatever that moment looks like, whatever it does. And all of that only comes through training and through meditation, through just being still, and then also realizing the truth of who you are. I think that's the biggest thing. Because I think the things that happen to you in life, especially the huge challenges, whatever it is, a divorce, a financial destruction, everything, anything that could ever have happened to you, the losing of a family member, anything, those are the things that teach you this and teach you how to clear the separation between you and source and peace in order to find your way. I mean, there's some people that have gone through some really major tragedies, and you always wonder, how did they do it, you know? My grandmother lost so many of her children, buried them already, and I look at her and I'm like, wow, you know, how do you do it? And I go back to just what Marianne Williams says, that she doesn't understand how anybody would survive nowadays without a spiritual practice. Because to learn to say yes to the moment in a place that we now live in, that the energy is moving so fast because the information is everywhere and technology has exceeded us, I already believe, because we still do not know how to control our minds. If we knew how to control our minds, and then not only control, but how to use them for the positivity of what we need in this world, then we would not be having this discussion, you know?
You said that the point of meditation is to find your clear self, to find your true self.
Stillness.
Mm-hmm. So there's so much types of meditation. There's like the New Age meditation, that's like recent and new, or from like thousands of years ago. There's like the Vedic, a Hindu tradition, or the
primordial
Buddhist tradition. I practice the eight limbs of yoga, the Hindu. Now that's the point of that is just revealing your inner self, avoiding all the like clusters of your personalities and find your true source. But in Buddhist tradition, it's the point of it is like disintegrating the individual self. It's kind of like the complete opposite. It's just like there's no core reality to yourself. There's no soul. There just is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I personally enjoy revealing to your true self. I do believe in a soul, so I'm a little bit more attracted to that. But it's in any meditation. I mean, it helps as long as you come, like you said, as long as you become still in the end.
Yeah, don't let anything out there tell you what to do and right or wrong. Because for me, I mean, and I still do this, like I said in my podcast before, I YouTube whatever I'm feeling and that's what I do. And for me, guided is much more effective because I'm able to control my monkey mind versus the really hard ones for me are complete quietness.
That's what I've read.
Yeah, and I love the Hindu ones because I love the music and the, you know.
No, the Hindu tradition, you don't hear anything. There's nothing that you listen
to. What about like, Green Tara?
Are you talking about chants?
Yeah, like the chant, the mantra, like Om, and Kundalini Yoga has a lot of this. Everything is at your fingertips in YouTube. It's just kind of like what you're feeling or going through. I don't feel that there's a right way or a wrong way of meditation. I feel like I probably have been meditating for a long time, like maybe 10 years, I want to say, is when I started really getting into it. And even now, I feel like I barely started scratching the surface of it. Because barely now, after 10 years, am I now asking the questions of when I'm going through a really stressful time or I'm going through a really, because of all this meditation, I think, now I'm like, wait a second, I'm not my thoughts. Wait a second, I'm not my thoughts. And then you start noticing, hey, that's a thought that I always have. No wonder I'm creating my same reality over and over. And then when you stop right there, you're like, whoa. And one of the biggest things about it is that there's what Eckhart Tolle says, that there's a fine balance between honoring your past and losing yourself in it. And a lot of us either live in the future or we live completely in the past. never ever living in the now, right? And so, yes, you look at your past and you honor it because it taught you so much. But one of the things that I've had to do, especially in the last few months, because there's been so much change in my life, is tell myself I'm not that person anymore. When I start having those same negative thoughts that make me feel, when I say negative, I say they make me feel uncomfortable, because let me tell you, the body doesn't know whether what you're thinking is real or not. The body, think about it when you're, you know, a police car is behind you, and we talked about this, or if you're truly afraid, it doesn't know if you're thinking of a lion that's going to eat you, it doesn't really know that the lion's not there, you know? And with this comes a lot of trust and letting go and finding strength and courage to just let go instead of trying. I was a huge control freak about every minute of my day, every moment of my life. I would wake up in a frenzy just thinking of the zillion things I had to do. And through this and through reading and through understanding that I can use the mind as my tool, as my advocate, and it's not my enemy. Sometimes I would tell myself, I'm going crazy. I'm going completely crazy. Lately, I've been starting to trust and let go completely, and that's a crazy feeling. My Course in Miracles this week has taught us that our only goal is God, the universe. That's it, whatever that means to you, love, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, when you wake up in the morning, and I'm not telling you that's bad for you to not, it's good for you to have your day plan if that's the way you work, you know, organizationally. But I think that what happens is that if you wake up knowing that your only purpose in love and is to love, and like Ram Dass says even too, love, serve, and remember. Love, serve, and remember is his quote in Facebook. Then everything
love,
else.
That's also his foundation.
Well, that's what I guess that's why it's called that, love, serve, and remember. But I thought that was just a quote. I thought that is so cool.
That's like his organization.
But if that's the only goal that you have every single morning when you wake up, everything else falls into place. It just does. And then when you're at the end of the night, when you feel like you haven't accomplished it, then you again, you control your monkey mind by saying, did I love, did I serve, and did I remember who I was?
Exactly. You mentioned accomplishment. There's meditations and meditation. You're not focusing on the end result. You're not, like, going, you're not having this thing. All right. So this thing in the eight limbs of yoga called siddhis, or I believe it's called
siddhis. Yeah.
Siddhis. And it's like the magic part, you know, the things that you see, I guess the so-called, you say, trippy stuff or whatever, but when that happens to you, you just let it be. You just, oh, you see it, oh, that's there, and you just go on. You don't pay attention to it. You don't hold on to these things, because if you hold on to it, then it disrupts the whole thing. You're never going to look for the results, because it just is, you know, and there's the only thing that really matters is just discipline. Doing it, making it an everyday practice, because then your mind tunes in, and it's like a muscle. You get stronger and stronger.
Yeah.
And I haven't been like in a while back with meditation. I played around with it, but I never had a steady practice. But since summer, I started. I every day for 5 minutes. It's not even that long. You don't have to go have an hour, or you have to do it like. Take 2 hours or anything. Just 5 minutes out of your day.
Yeah.
Just find the time. It's possible.
Quiet time.
Find the time. And apparently, I if you want to go into the eight limb path of yoga, the Vedic tradition, there's an awesome course on it on magic.me, and that's where I learned all my stuff from it. So if you're interested, go for it.
Yeah, and that's what I'll be learning over with Deepak Chopra too, with primordial meditation and the. Seven laws of success and yoga. So there's different techniques that you can do, but I think people don't understand still the power, you know, that we don't see the world as the world is, or we don't see God or the universe or whatever you want to call it. You know, we don't see it. We see it as we are inside, you know. It's not, and the only way to change your outer world is by changing your inner world, because if you're seeing angry people outside of you, violence and all that, it's hard to hear, but it's time to take responsibility, you know, and to really look within and see exactly what's going on in here so that I can portray a different outer world. And that again comes back with controlling your thoughts, you know, if you focus on only negative things, then that's what's going to become stronger. If you focus on positive things, then that's what's going to become stronger in your life. So the number one, like, solution to any type of negative mindset is gratitude. And there's anyone in this world that cannot find something to be grateful for. I mean, even the fact, let's say you're in the worst situation of your life, if you're breathing, I mean, there's something to be grateful for, you know?
You always tell me, return back to grace, right?
Mm-hmm. Always. And doesn't that Ram Dass say that too, return to grace?
I hear that.
I think there's
you.
A book. No, I think I got it from that book because that is true. And one of the biggest things that takes our energy and that takes our power and that takes is worry. You know, we worry about things that probably will never happen. And then when they do end up happening, let's say they do end up happening, they're not even as bad. I mean, look back at the things that have been the hardest for you in your life and that you thought you were not going to get through, whatever that looks like. I mean, and if you're still here, then you got through them, you know. There's this thing that worry is like it's probably one of the most biggest venoms that you can actually put in your body. And it's not a substance, it's not a material. It just really, it's a thought form that literally will create illnesses in you, that will create situations outside of you that perhaps didn't even exist before. And everybody, when we talk about this, especially, will say, easier said than done. How do you not worry? I'll give you a perfect example. My parents, you know, they worry about me every day, and I'm an adult that takes care of herself, and I've been doing this since I was 17, you know, 16 actually, and they still worry about me. They still worry about me driving. They still worry about me traveling. They still worry about all of those things because it's almost, what they tell me is that it's a natural instinct. But I tell them, Dad, I'm not going to worry that much. You know, they were worried about me going to college or my sister going to university. You know, I'm excited about you going to university. I don't know what it's going to feel like the day you're going to leave. I'm probably not going to be normal and I'll probably cry a lot for like 5 years. So right now, I'm not worried about that. I'm just happy that you're going to do that. I mean, got to fly, you know. So I tell them not to worry so much. I say, you know, and I think the number one thing is that the communication, you know, just keeping open communication and making them feel like it's okay, you know, don't. I mean, I know I have my little track record that perhaps make you worry, you know. Put that aside. If you put that aside, you know, there's nothing really left except for just let your daughter be. But, of course, I know what that would feel like. But if we could just put away the worry by reminding ourselves. Your dad said that 98% of things that you worry about never happen. That's a statistic he made up probably, or I don't know where he told us about it. But it's probably true. It is true because even the things that I have, like I said, things that I've worried about, I swear to you, they've not been that bad once I've had to deal with them. And yet you spent all those moments, all those minutes, all those hours. Let's say you're faced with a situation you can't change. What if you have a family member that has terminal illness? Or yourself, right? And they told you they only have 3 months to live. Well, if those 3 months you worry, or those 3 months you live the best life of your ever, you know, you go do the things that you really wanted to do, I mean, which way are you going to go out? I think...
the saddest part, because, like, when people give them their, like, terminal, when they're going to die and stuff, and then that person gets all depressed and stuff, and the doctor gives them, like, antidepressants, and they just like end the rest of their lives on like pills, y'all drug. That's a sad way to go, man. It's a sad way.
Well, when the doctor tells you that, but you can always beat the odds. You can always beat the odds.
Definitely. Duncan Trussell's mom, they told her the first time she ever had cancer, she said that you're gonna like die in like six. She was gonna die in 6 months or something. She lived so much longer that like she, strong. You can beat the odds with the mindset. No one could tell your fate.
No, and it's all about the mind. Illness created the mind. Illness can remove the mind as well. I think it's about seeing yourself whole and perfect, you know, and not worrying. And I think the people that are giving terminal illnesses, I think they're giving to them for a big reason. I think I see them as angels, honestly, I swear. Even the people that you would deem evil, that perhaps got an illness or anything like that. But I think people that get terminal illnesses, especially the young ones, they're angels because what they do is they awaken the people all around them. And the people around them are like, oh, I mean, ever since all this happened with my mom, I feel like life is so fragile. you know? Like, you could be so healthy, everything could be okay, and then all of a sudden, bam, you're dealing with other stuff, you know? It was so surreal because I took my mom to the doctor on Thursday, across the hallway from the doctor that I used to take my grandma to a few months back, which she gave up on doctors because she says she's done with them. And I don't blame her. If they just want to feed you medicine, that's all they want to give you, but they're just to experiment on you like a guinea pig. Then I tell her, more power to you, grandma, but you're a strong woman, because she suffers every day with osteoarthritis. But what's crazy is that it was across the street, the hallway from the, and I thought, when I left that pain management place, I thought I'll never be back here again. And I went up to the second floor, and there I am taking my mom to her appointment. And I thought to myself, this thing is never ending. If it's not her, it's going to be me next, or me. And then your mind starts going crazy. Then I feel like I was going through an existential crisis, like thinking, well, what's the point then? Then what is the point of all this that we call life? And then through meditation and prayer and a lot of prayer, I started really looking at the fragility, how fragile life is, and how every moment is so important, you know?
Yeah.
Like, who have you not forgiven today? Who are you still mad at today? Whose cross are you carrying, you know? Who are you judging and hating on? Damn, that kind of stuff, it doesn't hurt them. It hurts you, because they probably don't even know about it. And how the mind can literally be such a player in this. If we learned to tell the mind, these are the thoughts that you're going to think, and these are the thoughts you're not going to think.
Yeah. That's what the Buddhists call mindfulness, is when you focus on what you're doing, your thought patterns, and you're just aware of that, and you break those techniques, you know?
Yeah, and it goes back to the one thing. I think once you start realizing the truth of who you are, that you are an eternal being, that you were made for love and compassion and peace, that you're here to love, serve, and remember. I think that once you start realizing that, I swear, it's like your mind becomes your best friend. And I think the most successful people in this world have made their mind their best friend. And it's evil people, too. Evil people, look at Hitler. He totally believed in himself. He totally had, his mind was his, and that's why he was able to pursue with so many people.
The power of intention?
Yeah. It was just that was his legacy. That was what he was here to do, and that's what he believed, right?
Yeah.
Belief is such a huge factor in what the mind does. So I think that the number one thing to this, and I talked a little bit about it, which is about letting go, is to realize, again, the truth of who we are, and that we're not permanent. You know, you're not permanent as a child. Your body changes. You're not permanent as an adult. Your body changes. Mentally, you will evolve and grow. There's things, if you told me right now that I would be doing yoga, meditation, and I would want a green juice, or I would, you know, explore natural medicine, and I would be learning about shamans, and I would, especially about mysticism and stuff like that, because I was a true, like, I don't believe in any of that, you know. If you told me this 10 years ago, I would be like, no. And so I can only imagine 10 years from now. So I think the mind starts creating all these corrupt thoughts when it starts becoming attached to an identity as to who you are. Because even if it's really good, let's say you're a millionaire, which Deepak Chopra says is that some of the most insecure people are people with a lot of money. Why? Because they're afraid they're going to lose it. Right? Because they become attached to an identity. And the way that we should live life now, I see, is through a lot of flexibility and having your goal and knowing what you want in life and knowing what you were put here to do, earth, or at least taking the time to discover it, but also having flexibility for whatever could come in between, because it could be something better for you or bigger for you. So when you stop identifying yourself with story of who you are, you really let the magic come in and the uncertainty come in. And then not only that, the mind is not so so attached and so hungry and needy. It becomes more of a beautiful dance. It's like a flow in this world where you're just dancing with the energy. You know, tomorrow's not going to be better. Right now is nice. Right now is perfect, you know, because tomorrow you just imagine it in your head and it could or could not happen. But at the same time, you're here now, and then the rest will happen, you know?
We never know that there will be a tomorrow, so why even think about that, I guess?
And that goes, like, generally, I mean, I mean, literally, the moon could fall off the sky, and then here we go, you know?
We're never really sure what the next thing.
No. So what other things have you been studying about the mind?
All right, so that was a core. Once you really get, like, a studied practice of meditation stuff, then that's what I'm next doing. Because first I need a lot more experience with meditation. I need to get more practice with it. But after that, I will be diving into what is called astral projection. And a lot of people get this confused with out-of-body experiences. And out-of-body experiences are more like how it says it is. I think I'm right about this. Like, I could always be wrong. But out-of-body experiences is like when you go out of your body and you see you're floating in your little spirit, you see yourself body, and then you can, like, go around your house or whatever, your environment and stuff. That's out-of-body experience. And that's compared to astral projection. Astral projection is when you enter the collective unconscious, the world of imagination. We underestimate the word imagination, because it really does create our reality. And going to the astral world you can get a lot out of it. Before you enter, before you practice it, you could ask yourself a question and dive into it. Then maybe you don't even got the answer then when you're there, but maybe, like, later that day or later that hour or something, it'll come to you. Just pop up in your mind. It's funny how it works. It's crazy.
It's in your subconscious, probably. It's in your energy field.
Yeah.
Law of attraction, baby.
I definitely will have to do a lot more practice and study on astral projection, but it is definitely a real thing, and I'm just putting it out there for anyone to look it up and try to experiment with themselves. But yeah, I haven't tried any of that yet, because I still need to get better at meditation, in my opinion.
Why do you have to get better?
Why do I have to get better?
At meditation.
Because I have better control of my mind, and when I have better control of my mind, you actually.
You're never going to be perfect to do anything.
I know I'm not ever going to be perfect. No. And you know what? We're already perfect right now.
Exactly. So, but it's never going to be like.
Oh, I know, Mom.
It's almost like.
I just need more practice with this.
It's almost like a bodybuilder. Like, if I was going to get into bodybuilding or in a bikini contest, I would almost sign up first and then go and work out. Because if I didn't sign up, then I wouldn't do it. You know what I mean? That would really push you. But that's a definitely. Has there been any science behind that? Any backing behind that?
Honestly, I have no idea.
Nothing yet.
I'm pretty sure there is.
Well, I think the power of the mind is the fact is, again, going back to belief. Whatever you believe, you can create. I feel like.
No, this is backed up by science. There's this recent thing, Duncan Trussell. Please, I can't describe it because I'm really stupid. I don't know any science or anything like that.
You shouldn't say that about yourself. Those things are you manifest. Tell the universe you're stupid, you're going to be stupid.
Stupid about metaphysics. I'm not metaphysics. Because
you could say, I'm learning these new things about
quantum. No, I'm not even learning because I have no idea how to understand this stuff. I'm completely ignorant about it. I just regurgitate it from the people I hear. And I heard it from Duncan Trussell, which doesn't even. He also said that he doesn't have complete understanding of it.
None of us can have complete understanding of anything, but at least you just touch on the basic point.
I don't know. But somebody said, I forgot who, 1,000 hours of practice is once you get mastery. I don't have a thousand hours of practice on this.
But at the same time, okay, the reason I'm telling you this is because there's this book that Deepak Chopra wrote, and it's called Super Brain, of course. And he's like a half, he's scientist, spiritual. I love him, you know, because he says it all and everything that's perfect.
But
that needs to be
it's not even, what is.
But here's the reason I bring that up.
He's fitting into a role. He's trying to, there's this role of a guru set, and he has to mold into it. So he's not
How
even.
Do you, why do you feel that way?
Because that's what
You don't
he
think
is.
He tells people?
No, I did not.
So what's
say
wrong
that.
With that? What's wrong with what he's
that.
Doing?
I know for,
it sounded the way
I'm
you
sure
said
that,
it, was like there was something wrong with what he was doing.
But we're all, I'm just saying that everyone has a role in this, and apparently his is this guru figure, so he's going to try and portray that and only that. But he's also just human, and not everything that he says is perfect in the way it is.
Well,
I can understand
you may be jealous of me and my, you know, love for Deepak Chopra. I love you
not
too.
Not jealous
okay?
at all, mother. Not jealous at all.
Of course. I'm not going to tell you I agree 180% with
you
what
he
says.
Everything he says was perfect, so that's why
I did say that,
that,
huh?
Yes.
Everything you say is perfect. Don't listen to anything this guy says.
Okay.
There's been very few things that I disagree with him about. Maybe 4 things. That's it. But, you know, the things that he says, I feel like he is a modern-day poet. I really do. I love it. It's music to my ears.
I think he does have good intention. He's out there to help people.
I think he's a high intellectual. I think that he's just, and he's done with the... With the
I don't even think he's an intellectual, though. I don't know if he
He's a doctor, and he went
okay.
to... And he I went mean, to... Not just because he's a doctor, but...
I think he's more of a mystic, or more of a...
I hope he is, because or else I wouldn't like him more. Einstein, I wish I could find that quote again. It's about mysticism, not about freaking science. Don't go. You even said this to me.
Yeah.
Don't go do what everyone else is saying. Am I sending you to school to be an engineer?
Because
maybe you should be an engineer or a lawyer. So all of a sudden, Deepak being a mysticism is bad?
No. What?
Oh, that's the way it sounded. What are you trying to say by that then?
I think mystics are cool. I'd rather become a mystic and an intellectual in my... I'd rather become a visionary.
But he's both,
I didn't
feel.
Say anything was wrong with that.
No, I thought you were hating about Deepak Chopra.
He didn't butthurt.
Just because I said that everything he says is perfect, that's where he got upset.
I didn't get upset.
Whatever.
I'm just trying to...
One of the unique... This is what's said in the book. It's called Super Brain. One of the unique things about the human brain is that it can do only what it thinks it can do. The minute you say... My memory isn't what it used to be. You're actually training your brain to live up to your diminished expectations. Low expectations mean low results.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. But if I say I'm a genius at physics, I'm not going to automatically become a genius at physics. I have to admit to myself and know that I have a lot to learn instead of saying I'm a genius at physics.
No.
No,
I'm just making fun of you. I love making fun of you. But I'm just saying, be careful the words that you put onto this universe because your words become your reality. And then not only that, and when you become aware of your words, you become aware of your thoughts, and you become aware of your emotions, and then you become aware of where it's all coming from. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like this. It's like it ends up at words, it comes into thoughts, it goes into emotions, and then it goes deep within the subconscious. You know what I mean? And what's in there.
You think that's how it works?
I don't know. That's the way I see it in my face. And I try to slow down what happens in my head, but it doesn't work. So you're training your brain to live up to – so low expectations mean no results. Also, the first rule of super brain is that your brain is always eavesdropping on your thoughts. The first rule of super brain is that your brain – that's kind of interesting – is always eavesdropping on your thoughts. As it listens, it leans. If you teach it – as it listens, it learns, probably. They messed that up. If you teach it about limitation, your brain will become limited. But what if you do the opposite? What if you teach your brain to be unlimited? And that has to do with all of those Olympic gold medals that were records that have been broken after one person has done better than the rest, you know, has broken a world record. Why? Because the other mind already thought, then they can see what's possible to continue and to continue and to continue. So just be very careful about what you're feeling, thinking, and saying. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. But life
is life.
Yeah. And positivity, I mean, yes, positivity is helpful, but always saying that one-sided mindset, you have to acknowledge what is and is. You cannot accept it and force it and mold it into something that it's not.
Oh, you gotta accept it.
You have to embrace it for what it is.
Whatever it is.
Exactly.
Yeah, without any judgment.
I'm just saying, yeah.
Yeah, especially without any judgment, because I think the key to everything, and Abraham Hicks wrote this wonderful book of The Power of Emotions, starts there. It really does start there. If you are aware of your emotions, then your thoughts, your emotions create your thoughts, and then your thoughts create your actions and words, you know? So it goes back to your awareness. And
this is why I heard how that pattern follows.
Okay.
So first it starts with your karma. Then that equals
what's your karma?
What? I'm telling you. Okay. Your karma is your mind, and your mind is your thoughts, and your thoughts is your decisions, and your decisions is your actions, and those actions are your consequences, and those consequences equal your karma.
I agree, but then you would also have to believe in reincarnation in order to believe in karma. Because your karma is from your past life.
Or maybe you could just...
What you've done in this lifetime?
I don't think you have these. I mean, you can. That's a choice. But I don't think you have.
Or karma could be what you've done in this lifetime,
yeah,
too. I know. Karma is not necessarily a negative. I don't see it as a negative thing.
No, it's just...
Karma just is the actions performed in... Or the activities, actions, adventures. I don't know what you want to call them.
See, people always say karma's a bitch. But
it's
just really how you treat her. I mean... Just the way that you do in your act.
Because you can actually do something really negative in this world and then learn from it and not have to repeat the karma, because then you actually burn the karma. And that's what they call adding merit, remember? Growing your merit. And when we went to the Buddhist monks of Nepal, the tour,
yeah,
when we did the Green Tara meditation, they talked about merit a lot. And in Mexico, they actually talked about that too. Remember I told you,
yeah,
in Catholic, at the Catholic church? And
in a different way,
yes. But the way they said it is merit, earning merit is doing without expecting anything in return. And with the Green Tara, when we went to with the monks, it was growing your merit. It was also expanding your ability to receive, which meant expanding your mindset. Some people think, oh, all I want is a Toyota Corolla, and that'll make me happy, which there's nothing wrong with them. With that, you know, but there's some other people that may think, you know, I want a Bentley, you know, and I'm talking about material shit that, of course, doesn't matter, but it's easiest to explain it this way. So what you're doing is you're actually growing your mindset. So then when you start thinking in a sense where you can help this world, it's not just maybe I'm going to go help my neighbor clean up her yard, which is still fantastic. That's growing your merit. That, you know, in the Catholic religion, they think that by doing that, you get into heaven. I don't believe that. I think that by doing that, what happens is that you actually expand your heart consciousness, which then expands the ability for you to also receive on a bigger level as well. So I believe in the law of giving and receiving, and I believe it's just as important to receive as to give. But a lot of us get stuck in either only the giving or only the receiving, which can cause some major, major problems, right? Why we started talking about this, I don't know, because
yeah,
it has nothing
idea
to do with the power of your mind. But bottom line is that when you go back to the things that we've discussed, we cannot use, the way I would summarize it is that our mind is our friend. Our mind, sometimes I call it the ego, in my words. Sometimes I call it, I don't even know, my consciousness sometimes. Because even though it goes unconscious as far as anger, violence, and all that, it's what keeps me as a human being alive and aware of what's happening. Obviously, I'm not fully conscious in the truth of who I am, but I do have the ability to control it. And with time, you start looking at your limiting beliefs, and you start bringing them to the light to diminish them. And that takes practice, lots and lots. Or you can all of a sudden just have a kundalini moment where you just awaken.
Satori
moment, yes. I love Satori. Satori moment, a moment of intense presence where you are so fully focused. This has happened to people while they're working out. This has happened to people while they're having sex. This has happened to people while they're doing some intense adrenaline rush thing where they didn't even ask for it, but they just had this extreme energy.
That flow state.
Yeah, it's like this, not only flow, but also when you get that, when you get a kundalini arising, you're like your energy has shot up all of your chakras. I was going to call them chakras. Your chakras, and your that is how I see the body, kind of like, which correlates with the mind. So like the body is like, it's a mechanism that we can learn to use, and we are not our body. We are not our mind. This is an illusion. We're borrowing this body that we'll eventually just say bye to and say adios, amigo, amiga, and then come back. Hopefully not as a, I don't want to be like a freaking cockroach or something like that, you know. But whatever you bring me back as, I'll learn whatever it takes. And that's the way it is. So you do have control and power over your mind.
We have one more skill to mention that we could use.
Oh, we forgot?
Apparently.
Which one?
Lucid dreaming.
Oh, yeah. That is getting big nowadays.
Really?
Yeah.
That's good. I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we spend a good majority of our life sleeping, right?
Mm-hmm.
So why not get the most out of those experiences? Why not put it to use? I mean,
sure.
I personally haven't started because I can't even remember my dreams, and it starts there. I go to sleep a late lot, so
it's summer now.
I get it like
not on a regular school day. I will whoop his butt.
Obviously, so I get in like deep sleep, so I just really like knock out and don't remember anything I dream. So I need to stop doing that if I want to start practicing lucid dreaming. Lucid dreaming is practically you're entering your astral realm. But in your dreams, in your sleep, you have control of what you're doing here. You could create your reality once again.
It's kind of like that movie, Convergent, where they wake up and they give them a medicine that is Convergent, or what was that?
Insurgent? I don't know. I don't even know what that's called.
My favorite movie in the whole wide world. The one where she didn't want to become...
It's a book. I know what you're talking about.
But the movie.
Book series.
Yeah, what is it called? It's the... Divergent. Damien just saved our life. But that movie, what they do is they give, in order to train them to become like the best warriors, which that's what we could become. Once we control our minds, we can become superhuman. That's my next, I guess, goal in life, to become a superhuman. But what she does is they wake up in the dream, which is this medicine that knocks them out, and they reject fear completely. They completely reject fear. So I think that's kind of what you're talking about, lucid dreaming, right?
I mean, I guess you could face your fears during lucid dreaming, but I don't see why.
What I'm saying is you remember it, but you remember what you dreamt, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. No, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's where it starts. First, if you want to start practicing lucid dreaming, first you get your, whatever you dream, you start with a dream journal. You write down any of your dreams, and you remember, you write those down, it helps you remember them. And once you start remembering them, I have no idea how to go from there. That's
don't they sell stuff, didn't you? And your dad say that they sell something on onit.com that helps you...
Oh, this, to remember your dreams and have... All right, there's this thing called Alpha Brain from Onit. I've been wanting to get some, but I haven't got to. It's like a neurotropic, I don't know if I said that correctly, but it's supposed to help with your lucid dreaming, and it gives you the most like intense, crazy, psychedelic dreams as well. And there's also other herbal supplements.
Are they natural?
Yeah, it's all natural. Everything's natural, and it's not.
I wish I could, because I hate it. I don't remember my dreams. And this morning, while I was listening to something, I got triggered to what I had dreamt last night. And I was like, damn it, that was a good one. It was about illusions and not seeing illusion. It was crazy. So that sounds... That's on another level. When you're at the point where you're telling your mind, even in your dreams, to remember or to be conscious, that's really cool. It's happened to me before.
Yeah.
Where I've been, remember I told you I've woken up in my dreams and I told myself this isn't real. That's why that movie Divergent really made a big impact on me, because I was aware of that happening. And then I saw that movie, because I saw it like 18 times. Then it would happen to me, and I would remember, and I would tell myself, you're not afraid, you're not afraid. It's a good therapy.
Yeah, definitely.
If you can do it, right? So, I mean, there's an endless conversations about the mind. There really is, because there's so much power.
We're not aware of any of this. We're just stuck into our physical realm. We don't see the capabilities our brain has the potential to reach. Our mind is so powerful, we just take it for granted, man. Placebo effect, everything, man. We can optimize it to the full potential.
Well, we have a lot of work to do, and it's not a joke, because, I mean, Eckhart Tolle says evolve or die. And I think that, you know, when you look at change in your life, and most people are like, oh, I love change, but then when it comes, it's hard to adapt to, you know. What I see as change, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Okay.
The what I see is, like, when people... Let's say you have like let's say that you have like a really bad addiction or something, right?
Yep.
And then people are telling you, you need to change, you need to change, you need to change. You know, I don't think that you really need to change unless your mind tells you that what you're doing is bad for you, right? But at the same time, there will be a point maybe in your life where you will need to evolve from that practice, and it doesn't have to be now, or it could be later, you know, like people that smoke a lot. Let's say that they're finally smoking out of their fucking throat, you know? but then they'll realize, hey, I finally have to evolve from this or I'm going to die. And then they do evolve from it, and then they still die anyways, right? But that's the difference. It's not necessarily about changing yourself because other people don't like you or because you don't like yourself. It's about looking at your life and saying it's time to evolve, to leave. I've had so many phases of my life in the last 34 years, phases that I liked this. I remember when I was 18, I wanted tattoos. I wanted tongue piercings, you know, and it just went away, and I don't want that anymore. All I wanted to do was go here, and now I want to go here. All I wanted to do was spend my money there. Now this, you evolve or you die. So one of the biggest things, a huge call to action, is to learn how to use your damn mind so that you can human, you know, personification of who you are, right? Yes. And I think it's not something to take lightly. I think it's something to say, I am in this world as this human with this name, I guess. You don't even need the name.
This identity,
whatever. You don't even need the identity because it always will evolve. I am this human here that's alive, and this is a gift to be alive. What am I going to do with it today? You know?
Yeah.
What am I here to do? And if it's not something that makes your heart flutter, because I'm not telling you that you have to go save the world or something. You may be working at an office and you love your job. That's perfect, you know? But if it's not, then you're lying to yourself. And you're going to, you know, the way I saw it to myself is, I don't want to be on that deathbed and have regrets, you know? That's the last thing I want. Just take a deep breath.
Yeah.
Life is life. And thank God there's always awesome lessons. And if you're awake, you'll see them.
And accept where you're at and see that moment and move from there.
Say yes to the present moment, remember?
Yeah.
We talked about this. So the mind is very powerful. I would suggest you read The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle, if you guys want to call him. I call him Tolle. Super Brain by Deepak Chopra. Love his work. And he's almost perfect. Except I can't say that because my sounds good. I love his work. See, I didn't
Deepak's
even say it.
Deepak,
don't listen.
We're all perfect.
And there's a lot of other books out there. Get into meditation. Get into even just having a friend to talk to. You know, that's the only thing you need. That's your coach right there.
Community, the satsang.
Satsang, yes. Community, your family, friends, everybody who's available.
And yeah, just if you want, if this is what interests you, do some more interest on lucid dreaming. Look up astral projection. Like I said before, magic.me is where I'm learning about all this stuff. And
it's a cool website.
I recommend it completely.
So. Yeah, online courses. You can't go wrong with that. So your mind is yours.
And they have much more than this, too. It's crazy. They're filled with information.
Meditation, everything. Yeah, magic. Spell it for them.
It's magic with a K, so magick.me.
There's courses you can sign up, $50 per month, I think it is. I think there's others as well. We don't get anything out of promoting them, but we do.
Yeah.
Well, the reason why we're saying this is because we've used them.
We get something from this. So.
Yes, and Super Brain, Eckhart Tolle, A New Earth. If you want to start changing massive changes into the world, read that book. And just know that you're not your mind and that you do have the power to let your Holy Spirit really take over your life and let let yourself live the most amazing life ever. All right. I'm excited about next week's podcast because guess what? I don't know what it's going to be about. What about you?
Same. No idea. And I have no idea what tomorrow's going to be about either.
Oh, my God. All right. We're going to go now. Thank you guys so much. It's always fun. I mean, I love talking to this guy right here. I mean, this is the way we are every freaking day, except we have little Damien around us and your dad, and they're always putting in their two cents. So it's a great discussion, isn't it, overall? Very blessed, very grateful. Thank you, God, so much, universe, source, and sending you all blessings because my intention when I meditate is whatever good it does to me, may it be do good for humanity, that's for sure, because we're all one and we're all love. God bless. Amen. Dios vaya con Dios. Y que disfruten su semana. Have a great week.
Love each other. Thank you, Mom. See you.
Adios.